And on the line with us right now, advisor to the President of the United States, Corey Lewandowski. Corey, thanks for joining us again. How are you, sir?
It's my pleasure. Thank you and happy Friday.
Hey, for sure. Hey, we watched the debate last night. Well, I didn't because there was odd couple reruns on. I thought that would be better. But I'll tell you what, as soon as everybody raised their hand and said health care for illegals, I think there was a giant click here in northeastern Pennsylvania. People were pretty upset by that. What do you think?
Well, they should be because, look, I agree that people have a right to good health care. But part of that process means covering pre-existing conditions and giving people the opportunity to buy health insurance across state lines, which I think are two very reasonable things that everybody agrees with. What people don't agree with is giving health care away to people who are in the country illegally, because I don't understand why they get free health care and me and my family and you and your family and everybody else who goes to work every day has to pay for theirs. It doesn't make sense. It's out of touch with the mainstream of reality, and that's why the people on the stage last night don't resonate in middle America or in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, speaking of Pennsylvania, Joe Biden calls himself a scrappy kid from Scranton, which is right here in our listening audience. He got really raked over the coals last night, didn't he?
You know, Joe Biden showed every minute of his age last night. He was out of touch. He actually, as you remember, during one of the interactions said, "It looks like my time is up. I don't want to speak anymore." He really showed how much he has aged. And look, I respect Joe Biden for his service to the country, the 50 years of public service, but you can't keep calling yourself the kid from Scranton, Pennsylvania, when you haven't lived in Pennsylvania in 60 years. At some point, you have to be the guy from Delaware that he represented in the U.S. Senate for 36 years and was elected vice president from. And so, look, I don't know at what level that becomes. Maybe it's 50 years after you've left the state, but you got to stop calling your kid, you know, yourself the guy from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Now, you know, after both debates, there were analysts that said President Trump won. Do you see anybody emerging as the nominee?
Well, look, I think last night, really, Kamala Harris had a very good debate. She attacked Joe Biden, the front runner, on his lack of diversity, the lack of progressive movements that he's had in the U.S. Senate. So I saw her do very well last night. And as it relates to the first night, Elizabeth Warren was on the stage with a bunch of zeros, you know, literally people who are polling less than an asterisk in the public polling data. And she didn't make a mistake. So if you look at it right now and you had to handicap the Democratic nomination, and I've been through this on the Republican side because I was a campaign manager to a guy who was on the stage with 17 other people. There's five potential candidates right now. It's Biden and Bernie, obviously, Pete Buttigieg, I think it's Kamala Harris, and it's Elizabeth Warren, and everybody else is fodder who's trying to raise money or raise their profile for some future run for something else. But those are the only five candidates, and I think going forward, the Democratic Party should limit the next debate to those five, plus potentially one or two more maximum, and let's get rid of all of the sideshows, the Eric Swalwells of the world, the Bill de Blasios, the guys who aren't registering any of the polls.
Now, you know, I joked on the air that I didn't want to watch them because I get the impression or get the feeling, you know, just because of my involvement with politics, that the candidate has already been picked by the system or maybe by the mainstream media. The mainstream media kind of went after Biden, too, didn't they?
Look, I'm going to make a bold prediction as we sit here today. Joe Biden is not going to be the Democratic nominee. He's running the same strategy that Jeb Bush used, which was, I'm the best candidate to win the general election. That doesn't work in a primary process. Donald Trump ran to be the Republican nominee, and then he fought Hillary Clinton when he got there. Because it was the Bush strategy was, I can beat Hillary Clinton, because that's what the polling data says. It's the same strategy Joe Biden is using. He's going to lose on that strategy. I believe right now this race is still Bernie Sanders to lose because of the way they've changed the rules after the last Democratic primary where Hillary Clinton had all the superdelegates. Grassroots now matter more than establishment, and so Joe's in big trouble.
Don't you think it's strange that President Obama has not come out and supported him? After all, they got a friendship bracelet.
Well, yeah, he was his best friend for about 15 seconds. By the way, I think my 8-year-old gave me one of those, too, and told me I was his best friend. You know, 10 years from now, he's probably not going to give that to me. But you know, it's really amazing when you think about it. Joe Biden is on the defense from every candidate, from every side, from being too old to not being progressive enough, to not doing enough for women's rights, for African Americans, for supporting the crime bill. And Barack Obama's silence speaks volumes. It's volumes because Barack Obama is still the voice of the Democratic Party. And if he were to come out and put his arms around Joe Biden and say, this is the best person to win this nomination and challenge Donald Trump, Joe Biden would be a walk. But what we know is that's not going to happen. Joe was a convenient choice for Barack Obama because he wanted someone who was the old guard. And Eric Swalwell pointed out very clearly, look, Eric Swalwell is not a very smart guy. I know him very well. He's not a smart guy, but he did say when he was 6 years old, Joe Biden said to pass the torch, and he hasn't done that yet. And Eric, you know, in the next 3 decades, hasn't gotten any smarter than he was at six, I don't think. But he still doesn't have the torch in front of him. And it's a real important point that I think Joe Biden's time has really passed him.
Well, you know, one of the things that people have talked about is Joe Biden keeps talking about, you know, being the scrappy kid from Scranton, but he hasn't come to the Scranton area. None of the candidates have really talked about Pennsylvania, but I know the president has been here, and I'm sure he's going to be here. And Corey, last time we talked to you, you were on Air Force One with him going to Montoursville, Pennsylvania. Do you know if he has Pennsylvania on his agenda for the near future?
Well, I can tell you this. I had the privilege to travel with the president when he made the announcement last week in Orlando. Then we went to Miami. On the flight back to Washington, D.C., while I was on the plane, I spent some time with the president in his cabin, and we talked about the race. And he said, what do you think is the most important state for me? And I said, unequivocally, Pennsylvania. Wisconsin was always an added benefit, and Michigan was an added benefit. We knew in the 2016 campaign, and we know in the 2020 election, all roads go through Pennsylvania. Manufacturing coming back to Pennsylvania is important. Unemployment rates for African Americans and Hispanic Americans, particularly around the Philadelphia area, very important that they're at the lowest levels ever. There are more people working today than ever. Pennsylvania is ground zero, and I would put that right on par, if not even slightly ahead, of the state of Florida. That's how important the state of Pennsylvania is to the president's reelection effort, and I can assure you, he and Vice President Pence are going to be spending an enormous amount of time over the next 15 months in the state of Pennsylvania.
Last question, Corey, and I don't mean to be a broken record, but when you were with us on the way to Montoursville...
Wait, no, I know what you're going to say. Stop. I know what you're going to say. Okay. I promise you, I told the president about the rainwater. You're going to say rainwater, right? Is that what you're going to say?
The rain tax.
Yes, I know this issue. I mentioned it directly to the president. I told him about it. He knew a cursory information about it, but he said, look, I want more information on it. Make sure I'm briefed on this, and I want to talk about the next time I go to Pennsylvania because this is insanity. So I pledge to you that I would raise this issue with the president. I raised the issue. He was already aware of it, not in the fullest detail, but I can tell you this. It is something that is on his radar screen and is in the process of being fixed.
God bless you, Corey Lewandowski.
Look, it's not there yet. We still got a bureaucracy to fight.
I know.
But it's there.
But we got 1,000-yard signs, and now people are putting up huge banners on buildings. As long as we know that you're talking to him, we're happy. You have a good day, sir, and a good weekend.
Thank you.
My pleasure. How about that?
Yes.